With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, back in on Cody and Gold. Carrington here, taking you up until noon. The Royals have a doubleheader today. I made a swap with Cody and Gold back in March that if they did 1 hour for me on the Friday of the NCAA tournament, that I would do 2 hours for them whenever the Royals had a day game. So I am here. They are off today. You've got me for the next hour or so. So let's keep talking Kansas City Chiefs football here. And we had Pete Sweeney on the show. And there's really one major thing left for the Chiefs to do this offseason. We could talk about pass rush, but I don't know if they're going to make a major pass rush move. There's really one major move left, and that's to sign Orlando Brown to a long-term extension. Here's Pete Sweeney on a Brown extension.
I'm down on the Chiefs figuring this out because I think Brown wants top dollar, and I don't think the Chiefs can convince themselves.
Is this another Tyreek Hill thing?
In a
like,
way,
we don't want to pay you Trent Williams money. Will you take a little less, please?
I think there's a really good chance Brown just plays on the tag because if you
then hit, when you do long term at left tackle, were they hoping Kennard's the right tackle and then Lucas Niang's healthy and all of a sudden
if
someone
that's
else
the case,
shifts over
they have
to
just traded him, drafted a left tackle.
Right.
That is a
if that's ultimately what ends up happening, then 100%, then that was a missed opportunity.
I had mentioned this. I think there is a. And I don't think this is necessarily going to happen. You're asking me what I think about Brown. I think he'll play on the tag because I don't think he's going to agree to less than top dollar, and he doesn't deserve it, and the Chiefs shouldn't give him top dollar. There is like a break glass scenario that dates back to last year with Brown having that emergency injury where Joe Tooney slid over. He looked pretty damn good.
These are the two options that the Chiefs have at left tackle. Number one is pay him. Seems very simple enough. You liked enough of him to use a first-round pick on him and trade him to the Baltimore Ravens or from the Baltimore Ravens. He's a good left tackle. Now, we can debate on whether or not he is a great one and is he worthy of the contract that he's probably going to sign, but typically there aren't a lot of good free agents that you can get for cheap at that position. That's a position that if you want to answer – you either originally draft them, which they have the option and they chose not to, or you're going to spend a little bit of money. I don't have a problem with them spending the money on Orlando Brown. Now, it goes against my typical belief system that you shouldn't give good players great contracts, but he also plays an incredibly valuable position, and for the Chiefs, it would probably just be in their best interest to go ahead and sign him. You can structure it in a way that you lock yourself in for 3 years. You can get out of it when he's about 28 years old. He's still a relatively young player and has been a relatively healthy player. I don't think there's much of a downside, especially with the way that the cap is growing, to sign Orlando Brown to a long-term extension. This offseason, that would be my number one objective. We have now moved on from Tyreek Hill. Our number one objective is to lock up our left tackle and solidify the offensive line even further. We will have paid our left tackle. We will have paid our left guard. We still have our center and our right guard on a rookie contract, and we just drafted somebody in Kennard that we think can be our right tackle. We have offensive line peace for at least the next two seasons. I don't think that's a bad plan for the Chiefs. But the other plan is if you make the determination this offseason that you cannot come to an agreement, then you have to tag and you have to trade them at the end of next season. The number is only going to go up from here from Orlando Brown. He had a good, solid season. Wasn't great. He had a good year. Next season, maybe he does have a great year, and we also think that the cap is going to go up. This is the lowest that it will ever be moving forward to sign Orlando Brown. Well, the lowest really was last offseason, but they weren't going to do that without seeing him play left tackle. We've now seen it. He was solid. He was good. But, Rob, there are only two options. You either bite the bullet and you pay him and you live with what it's going to cost, or you make the determination that he's not going to be on your team long term. And you tag him this year and you absorb the cap hit because you have the ability to do so. And then at the end of the season, you trade him and you use the assets that you get from trading Orlando Brown to then go draft his replacement, where you have a 4-year option at that position or a 5-year option at that position on a rookie contract. If you don't pay him this offseason, then you've made the outward declaration that you don't think he's worth that money. You don't think he's worth that contract. There's only two options. This is pretty simple to me. You either sign him now or you trade him at the end of this season. Those are the only options I think the Chiefs have.
I agree those are the only options. Here's my question for you, though, because you always ask questions on the show, and I'll ask you one. You were a person who every time I had blowback and every time I pushed back on the idea that this was a coup of a trade that the Chiefs acquired Orlando Brown from the Ravens, I always said it's super dependent on if they get him locked up to a long-term deal. Because if not, they trade a lot of assets for a 2-year rental. Expensive 2-year rental at that, because what the tag number is going to cost. If they have made the determination we're going to play him on the tag and trade him to get some picks back, how much, if at all, does that change your opinion on the trade for Orlando Brown? Because if your plan was 1 year and then a $20+ million year two and hope to get his value back because you don't want to pay him again, doesn't it make that Ravens trade look bad?
You and I just value these picks very differently. Like, to you, picks are the ultimate premium. Not having great players on your team, having the ability to draft great players is the thing you care the most about in the league. If they get 2 years out of them, so let's say they do this. Let's say they signed Orlando Brown to a 2-year, $25 million contract at the beginning of last season. Everybody would have been up in arms, celebrating. That's a fantastic contract. Now, if you tag and trade him, what do you get back for him? But if you traded a first-round pick for him, you turn around, and then you get a first-round pick for him or a high second-round pick for him, which you should be able to do for a 25, 26-year-old offensive lineman that plays left tackle, I still think it's a net positive. I just don't view draft pick assets in the way that you do. So if you're telling me that at the net end of this, let's say at the end of this, they move their 2020, or maybe 2021, 31st overall pick into a 2023, 27th overall pick, and then you net out where you signed Orlando Brown to a 2-year, $26 million contract, I would say that you came out ahead in that scenario. You had a desperate need for something. You were still in let's do everything we can to win now mode. You took a big swing on a player at an impact position. You took a smart swing. Now you give yourselves multiple first round assets in a future draft to then go up and get the left tackle that you need. So you're almost in the exact same situation that you were in this year, but instead of having to replace a wide receiver, you now got to replace an offensive line. I don't think it's that bad of an option of moving Joe Tooney over to left tackle and then finding a new left guard. Now, I don't know if the Chiefs will seriously entertain that possibility, but Joe Tooney's already making high-end offensive lineman money with where he's at. You move Tooney over to left tackle, and you go sign a left guard, and you can draft a left guard. They've shown they can do that. This organization has shown that they can spend a fifth-round draft pick and get more than a serviceable option on interior offensive linemen. They've done that multiple times now. So I actually don't think that's a bad option. I think that could maybe be their best option. Tag Orlando Brown for this season. At the end of this, trade him. Move Joe Tooney over to left tackle. And then go relatively cheap at left guard. And then you got two first-round picks to do what you want with. And continue to stockpile young talent that you love so much. I don't think that's a bad plan.
If they did that plan, I don't think I'd be unhappy. I think if they walked away from Brown at the end of the year, they got an asset back, not what they gave up, but something back, and they moved Tooney to left tackle, I'd be happy. Because, and this kind of fits in this whole conversation, the thing that's going to happen at this time in 2023 among Chiefs fans is they're all going to hate Joe Tooney's cap hit. They're about to hate Joe Tooney's contract. They're going to turn on it because he's about to be super duper paid, and it might be this offseason, at left guard, which me and you can argue about what the premium positions are in the NFL. Neither one of us have left guard on that list. So if they do that plan and they move Tooney to left tackle, I wouldn't be upset because you're basically paying him left tackle money to play left guard. If they don't do that, fans are going to be upset with Tooney's contract the same way they were Hitchens. The difference is Tooney is better, but that contract is about to be hated by Chiefs fans. Keep an eye on that.
I don't think it's going to be hated. I don't think people care about cap hit the way that you do. I think the lasting image of seeing Mahomes running for his life in the Super Bowl will not make them ever turn on that contract as long as he's still a really good player. Think about the love Kansas City has for Creed Humphrey. A lot of that love stems from, we didn't have you, look at what happened at the Super Bowl. We now have you. We don't think that can ever happen again. It was sort of like scared straight. So I think you knew when they gave Joe Tooney the contract. He signed a 5-year, $80 million deal with $47 million guaranteed. I think you knew that wasn't going to be cheap. I don't know if they ever turn on that contract because they remember what it was like to not have a high-end offensive line. And in a lot of ways, it cost the Chiefs a ring. So I don't think the Chiefs fans are ever going to be as angry about cap hit. Rob, you care about cap hit and draft picks. That's what you really value. You value that more than acquiring good players. You want to give your quarterback $70 million and just have them play with rookie contracts. I don't think that's what people care about nearly as much anymore. I'm with you. I wouldn't give an offensive guard $22 million. I don't know if Chiefs fans will feel that way about Joe Tooney, though. Now, they might feel that way about Orlando Brown and having Joe Tooney in that situation, but I don't know if they're going to feel that way about Joe Tooney's contract because of what happened in the Super Bowl. All right, keep it locked in right here. You're listening to Cody and Gold today. Carrington's here, Rob here. We're filling in until 12 o'clock. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, I will try to make one of my greatest comparisons. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. So it's Cody and Gold.
Cody and Gold.
The doctor's evaluation was too much bone in your foot. You know what we're going to do? We're just going to fuse it all together. Going to make one super bone. That's their solution to this.
What's a super bone?
On 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We were talking about Orlando Brown's contract discussion with the Chiefs. And we had Nate Taylor on the drive a couple of days ago. And he said that the Chiefs really need to get Orlando Brown's contract done in order to make some more moves.
They need to get a deal done with Orlando Brown. They've got to remove the franchise tag to lower his cap hit for this year to be, you know, relative to what other veterans have gotten on the first year of their deal with guaranteed salary, and obviously it sort of grows as the cap is supposed to increase in the following years. That's the easiest way for you to get James Bradbury, or the easiest way for you to have the cap space to be competitive for his services. Now, If things get a little shaky, if you have to take all the way up to the July 15th deadline for Orlando Brown, then it gets a little tough.
Rob, other than Bradberry, what other moves are we possibly waiting on that the Chiefs are going to make? Now, Bradberry is a high-end corner. Like, you're not getting Bradberry for cheap. He's probably going to sign what Stephon Gilmore got, which was around 2 years, $20 to $25 million. Outside of that, I don't really know, at least now, what the cap space would be for. I think the Chiefs, I don't want to say that they are passing on this season. I don't think they're punting on this season. I think they will be hyper-aggressive next year with the cap space. They have a very serious decision to make about Chris Jones next season. They could save $20 million moving on from Chris Jones next year. I don't think there's any chance Chris Jones is back on the team at his current deal. Either he's gonna sign an extension and restructure his deal, or I think they're trading him at the end of next season. Frank Clark's contract is off the books. I think they're waiting for next season to really make moves. You sign Orlando Brown this year. You make a couple of small moves. You go pick up a Jason Pierre-Paul. You go pick up a Akeem Hicks. Maybe you sign Ndamukong Suh. But that's not a move that financially you can't absorb. And then next offseason, they're a major player in the wide receiver market. They're a major player in the pass rush market. They're a major player in free agency. We basically have seen that they are players in free agency on day one. They signed Justin Reed on day one of free agency. Last year, I know he wasn't a free agent signing, but when you make that level of trade for Orlando Brown, that's a free agent signing. The bill just doesn't come due for a year or so. I know you didn't pick up Frank Clark via free agency, but that's a free agency move. Tyrann Mathieu, a free agency move. Sammy Watkins, a free agency move. Anthony Hitchens, a free agency move. So I think their time to spend big is just simply next season. But I don't think that they need to get Orlando Brown done to make the moves that I think are still possibly out there. Sure, if you want James Bradberry, maybe you got to make that move. But other than James Bradberry or maybe Jadeveon Clowney, which there's no reason to think that they're really high on picking up Clowney, I don't know if they really need a lot of cap space to go sign Jason Pierre-Paul or some of the other pass rushers who could be available. We also asked Nate Taylor about the Orlando Brown contract, and he says that he believes they chose Orlando Brown over signing Tyrann Mathieu.
The moment they decided to choose Orlando Brown over Tyrann Mathieu, Chris Jones became the most important player on their defense.
You think that's what they did? You think they chose
Orlando Brown over Tyrann Mathieu? Yes.
I think they chose Orlando Brown over Tyreek Hill. But, I mean, we're probably saying the same thing from different perspectives.
I knew in training camp last year that they had chosen Orlando Brown over Tyrann Mathieu. And I don't want to make people go back and have to, like, find the article. But what I had learned before last season began was we already know he's going to be good enough. He's going to get better as he plays more downs at left tackle, and we're going to franchise tag him.
There just aren't many examples of a team that trades a first-round pick for a player that either isn't already on a contract or that they don't turn around and give a contract to. Rob, I'm trying to think, over the last maybe 5 to 7 years, wouldn't Brandon Cooks be the only player? I know Brandon Cooks got traded for a couple of first-round picks there those back-to-back years, but outside of Brandon Cooks, I can't think of another team that trades a significant asset, like a round one pick, and then doesn't sign that player long term. You most always get a deal done with a guy like Orlando Brown. I don't think there's really much of a reason to really fret over it. I think this deal gets done. It probably doesn't get done in May. It probably doesn't get done in June. But we all know that deadlines make deals, and before you go to camp, when you've got 72 hours left, and he either's going to play under that franchise tag and you're going to have to hold that whole cap hit for the season, or you extend a player that you really like, two sides typically come to an agreement, they typically get a deal done, and everybody is happy. He gets the long-term security that he wants, you guys get the cap flexibility that you want, and everybody moves forward. That's how this story ends with Orlando Brown. This story ends with him getting a nice, shiny new contract in some random day in July, and everybody goes home happy.
But are Chiefs fans going to be happy that day? Because I think the original number we see, the eye-popping number that happens on random July day, is going to irritate Chiefs fans because he's going to be doing the thing that you always say you shouldn't do, overpaying for a good player, not a great player. It's going to look that way with Orlando Brown's contract. Now, I think he can grow into being a left tackle and continue to develop. I think when the Chiefs do extend him, I think they will, that will be their plan. That will be their talking point. You'll hear it in press conferences. We think he has a lot of ceiling up left tackle. But fans don't like when you sign good players to great contracts. That day is coming with Orlando Brown. So I think Chiefs fans will be excited because it's a good player, but I think the number itself will not have Chiefs fans excited.
This season, if it goes really well at wide receiver, let's say it goes really well, and Mahomes turns Mecole Hardman into an 1,100-yard receiving guy, Juju has 950, MVS has a career year, we see a good year from Sky Moore, I think it will be tough to convince fans to really invest at wide receiver because they did so 1 year on the cheap. We know this organization isn't really going to spend significant cap dollars when it comes to a running back. Maybe they'll spend a high draft pick and a first round pick, but I don't think this team is ever going to be in a position in which they're signing a running back to a lucrative contract. You got to spend that money somewhere. I think fans will be pretty happy with you spending it to give Patrick Mahomes the support up front. I think they'll be happy with you doing it. Now, they're maybe in a different situation where we're talking about paying their left tackle. We're talking about playing their left guard. We're also talking about in two seasons, you got to pay your center and your right guard. That's a lot of people to have to pay. But I think you'll just cross that bridge when you get there. I mean, once you get to that point where you got to pay Trey Smith and you got to pay Creed Humphrey, Joe Tooney is 31 years old. Like, maybe that's a player that you want to move on from when he's 31 years old, and the contract will allow you to do so. But I just think the moment they made that trade, we just accepted that they're going to pay their left tackle. Text line 913-576-7610. If Mecole Hardman has 900 yards this year, we'll trade him faster than Matthew went away from Brady in the Super Bowl. Oh, you won't trade him because you're not going to franchise tag him. He's just going to leave in free agency and sign for a lot of money. We're talking about that contract year undefeated thing. This is the contract year for Mecole Hardman. There's no trading him. This is the last year of his deal. I assume no one wants him to franchise tag Mecole Hardman at the end of the season and lock him in for, what's the franchise tag going to be a wide receiver next year? $16 million?
Maybe higher with all these contracts we just saw. I mean, it's going
to
be big.
The franchise tag number for a wide receiver is going to be wild next year. There's no franchise tag in Mecole Hardman. You either agree to a contract now with him or you're perfectly fine letting him walk at the end of the season. I mean, maybe you re-sign him, but if they can get that out of Mecole Hardman this year, I assume they'll spend another draft pick next year and just start the process all over again. Like, you draft Sky Moore, so next year if you don't have Juju, you don't have Hardman, you've got another guy who's been in your system, he moves up. So next year you got MVS, you got Sky Moore, and then you go spend another high asset on wide receiver, and you feel really good about that moving forward. That's what I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the play. If Mecole Hardman has 900 yards, Mecole Hardman's not a Chief in 2023. That's just the reality. The Chiefs aren't going to afford
him. I don't think there's any chance unless he gets hurt.
I was going to say, if he bottoms out, I think the Chiefs could re-sign him. But I think the Chiefs would then sign him super cheap, thinking that, hey, we know we can do it with you. Here's a one-year prove-it deal. Kind of what they did with Rashad Breeland. I know it's different because they drafted the guy, but bring him back on a cheap contract, hope you can, you know, get the most out of him. But if McCole's going for 900, he ain't a Chief in 2023.
I mean, if I'm Mecole Hardman, I don't think I ever get to that point. I mean, we just saw DJ Chark get $10 million a year. I mean, if Mecole Hardman, he's still 25 and a wide receiver, somebody's paying him. He ain't just getting $2 million next year. He ain't DeMarcus Robinson. Somebody's paying Mecole Hardman at the end of the season. I just strongly doubt that it would be the Chiefs. All right, coming up in a little bit, I have a comparison I want to make for you guys. But Rob, give me a little bit of music. I want to ask you guys a very serious life question. Now, I saw this on the tweet machine. Rob, when you're playing pickup basketball, if someone shoots and calls foul, but still makes it, does it count? I think the answer is no. I think if you're playing pickup basketball for you weekend warriors out there, foul ends the possession. I don't care what happens. The moment you say foul, everyone stops playing, and we will give you the ball at the top of the key. Now, we might argue whether or not you got fouled or not, but to me, foul is a in possession, we want the ball at the top of the key thing. You don't get no continuation. There's no playing through it. Foul. All right. And one to me is different. And one is I acknowledge that you fouled me, but I'm still about to make it. You can't call and one and get the foul call. You can't do both. If you call and one on the pickup game, that's you saying I'm going to make it even though you fouled me. I'm good. But you don't get to say and one, do your Jordan layup with the tongue out through the lane, miss, and then ask for the ball at the top of the key. No, that's what foul is for. If you say foul in that scenario, cool. I'll give you your foul call. We might disagree, but I'll give you your foul call. Maybe we'll, if it really gets serious, we'll say shoot for it at the top of the key. But those are the official pickup basketball rules. Foul ends the possession. And one is a, I acknowledge that you fouled me, but you too little, I'm still going to score in this scenario. But you don't get the ball after an and one call if you don't make it. That's not how it works.
I've never played with the and one system. I've always played as when you yell foul, that's the equivalent of the whistle in basketball. And you can still score after the whistle in basketball. You catch it, you get hit, they blow the whistle, you still have a chance at a layup. However, you don't get an NBA continuation. I don't foul you at the top of the key, you get two dribbles, a takeoff, and a layup. No, I got you at the top of the key. Simultaneously, because I've always played where when I yell foul, there is a continue to play on, the fouls get hard. Then you then walk over, you tap the guy, hey, I got you, you're good. I hit you a little hard, but to avoid that continuation issue, the fouls are a little more physical. I've never played with this and one system. I've always played when you yell foul, it's the equivalent of a whistle blowing in basketball, and you can play through the whistle to get an and one.
Okay. Different pickup rules. Yeah, I'm just a big on foul ends the possession. We can restart the possession. I'm not saying we won't give you the ball. I'm going to respect your call. But yeah, you don't get to call foul and then keep doing all these extra moves. No.
No, you can call foul, but you got to understand the defender's going to foul you. He's going to get you. Like if you're trying to come through the lane, it's not bad boys Pistons, but it's more bad boys Pistons than you might like. And you can yell foul, but you're not going to shot up after that. It's because I got you.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of, I didn't know y'all was playing that kind of street basketball. I didn't know he was Bill Laimbeer. I know he was Kurt Rambis where you play pickup games at. That's not the kind of pickup game I want to play.
Game on the line? I'm not letting anyone just beat me.
Well, yeah, I'm not
clothesline
I'm
anyone,
not
but
Ben Wallace out here. You're Ben Wallace.
If I get you, I got you. You're not getting the ball up. I'm not letting your hands, bro, it play in there.
At this point, playing pickup ball, I only got two objectives. I want to get some good cardio in, and I want to go home healthy, bro. If I win, great. If I lose, okay. You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to miss work the next day because I pulled a hammy. I don't want to be on the 10-day disabled list from your hard foul.
What happens in your world when you come to the lane, you get hit, you yell, and one, and you go for the layup, and it rolls out?
Play on.
All right. I just didn't know.
If you go up there and you say and one, and then you miss the finger roll, I am not rewarding you with the foul. You called and one. That means you thought you were going to make it. You missed. I got the rebound. We're kicking it the other way. You can call foul in that scenario. Ah, foul. All right. Cool. Check it up top. But no, I'm not letting you and one and then you can do whatever you want. Not at all. Someone said, who yells foul? I've never heard someone yell foul at pickup ball. You never heard people call foul before? I mean, I'll definitely call a foul. Because sometimes you just get fouled. Most of the time on defense, you know if you foul the other guy. That's not something we really got to argue.
I mean, I don't call ticky-tack stuff. When I get hit, I tell people I got hit.
Yeah, I got fouled. Foul. I don't mind you calling foul in those scenarios. What I mind is all right, we've had a nice constant pace of play the entire time. Let's say we're playing to 11, for example. 9-8, it's been fun. We're going back and forth. You call a foul, cool. It's only been two foul calls at the end of the over the course of the game. Now we get to game point, and now we're calling it like it's game 7 of the NBA Finals. You call it hand checks, and bro, come on now. Call it consistent. We out here playing pickup ball. There's no reason for the pickup ball to be called tight. There's no reason for that. That's when an argument's about to start. You got to really foul me for me to call foul in that scenario either. You got to like significantly alter my shot for me to call foul. Other than that, yo, we playing through it. Like I should have made it. That's on me. We should have made it. Someone says this seems like a two Americas cheesy potatoes conversation. That's probably fair. That's definitely probably fair. Rob, while we're talking basketball, I was thinking this. I don't think we talk about this enough. Luka Doncic is a basketball prodigy. Luka Doncic is the most skilled and best basketball player we have seen since LeBron James. Think about how good Luka was at an incredibly young age. Luka was the MVP of the EuroLeague at 19. The EuroLeague is the second best basketball league in the world behind the NBA. If Luka was a college basketball player during that time, he would have been the best freshman we'd ever seen. Better than Kevin Durant was, better than Michael Beasley was, better than Zion, better than whatever freshman you could name in the last 30 years. If Luka Doncic had played that last year instead of playing it overseas in college, he would average 30 points a game. You want to know how I know? He averaged 21-9 at 19 years old in the NBA. 21-9. He is a prodigy. The Mavericks are a good team. I don't think they're great by any means. I don't think they have a lot of great weapons, a lot of great pieces. You know what they got? A basketball prodigy on their team. You know what the Mavericks philosophy is? We got Luka and you don't. And it doesn't matter that you don't have Luka. We got him and we're about to win this game because he's on our team. I don't think we talk about Luka enough in terms of like what he really is. He's 23 years old. He might be the most skilled player in the NBA outside of Kevin Durant. Just ability to go get you a bucket, footwork, basketball IQ, understanding of spacing. The only player I think with the skill level comparable to his is Kevin Durant. I guess you could say LeBron, but LeBron's game is like based on power. It's not really what Luka's game is based on. Like, Luka's game is, I'm going to get to the exact spot I want on the floor, and you cannot do anything about it. You know exactly what I'm going to do, and you just can't stop it. Like, he is a basketball prodigy. That team is centered around the fact that I'm on your team. And when I started thinking about it more and more, it started to make sense why he and Patrick Mahomes are such good friends. They are the exact same person. Think about how many great quarterbacks there are, how many great football players there are in the National Football League. And they are a lot. There are very few players that even those players talk about differently than the other ones. Like, you know, when they do the NFL Top 100 and then they show all the players and they give their quick thoughts on the other players in the league, they talk about Mahomes differently than they talk about the other ones. That there's some athletes that are so skilled that even to the most skilled athletes in the world, they acknowledge that you can do something that I can't do. That's how Mahomes is. We watch NFL football every Sunday. We watch the quarterbacks in this league every Sunday. There are not a lot of people that you can say, oh, that guy reminds me of Patrick Mahomes. There's not a lot of quarterbacks that you say, your team is going to be good because you have X on your roster. I think you could argue that this is the least skilled and least talented version of the Chiefs since Patrick Mahomes has been there. Certainly offensively, they don't have as many weapons as they've ever had offensively since he's been here. don't have a number one wide receiver. They're incredibly average at running back. They just got a prodigy on their team. And we know it'll work because they have him on his team. Defensively, they got a lot of question marks on defense. Probably as many question marks as they've had since Mahomes' rookie season. In quotations, rookie season. It doesn't matter. They got Patrick Mahomes on their team. There's not many players in professional sports that you feel that way about. Oh, I know you'll be good because you have X. That's what Luka Doncic is. That's what Mahomes is. I was really thinking about it, and it makes sense why they're so close. They're the same person. They both were incredibly skilled at an age in which you're not supposed to be. You're not supposed to come into the league and maybe be the best quarterback in your first four games. You maybe do that by like where Mahomes is now in his career. You don't just magically pop into the league and throw six touchdown passes in your second start. You don't just win MVP your first year in the NFL. That's just not really how it works. That's what Mahomes did. That's what Luka can. Luka was first team All-NBA at 20. He was one of the five best basketball players in the world at 20 years old. You're not supposed to be able to do that kind of stuff, man. That's my basketball thought for the day, Rob. We also have the draft lottery coming up today. We'll see where Ochai might go.
I don't know if you've seen, but Jalen Wilson's dominating G League Elite today. So
okay, well, I've seen him play college basketball, and I would tell him to come back. I would tell Jalen Wilson to come back to school.
You know how I know it's a slow sports type of year? That tweet populated my timeline way more than it should have yesterday. Jalen Wilson cooking in G League camp. Okay. Cool.
All right. Coming up on the other side, we'll put a bow on this thing. We're filling in for Cody and Gold today. The Royals have a game at 110. Keep it locked in right here at 610 Sports Radio.
This is Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio. Check out Nick's Wave in the Wheat podcast with new episodes every Wednesday on the 435 Podcast Network and the Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I just saw that The Simpsons are coming back for their 34th season. Rob, do you know anyone who still watches The Simpsons? At one point, we all knew someone who watched The Simpsons. Do you know someone who still today, in 2022, watches The Simpsons. The Simpsons to me seem like a show, kind of like 60 Minutes. I never watch 60 Minutes in the summer. And then I'll be watching the NFL, and then the Chiefs game will go off, and then I'll be, oh yeah, 60 Minutes comes on next. I forgot about this show. Oh, this show's actually really good. I imagine that's how people watch The Simpsons still, right? Like, I don't even know if The Simpsons come on outside of football season. Like, I know it comes on during football season. They promote it. So after the games, it leads you right into The Simpsons. Do you know anybody that still watches The Simpsons today? Is this still a thing? I mean, obviously it's a thing. It's 34 seasons of it. Are people still following this show?
I mean, define watch it. Like, I don't know anyone that, like, sits down and is like, yes, The Simpsons are on Sunday at whatever time. This is appointment television. The same way they do for people we know that watch We Own the City or whatever. I don't know anyone like that. But I know people that have Disney Plus, and when they're looking to kill 25 minutes, there's nothing on TV, they throw The Simpsons on. But I don't think anyone locks in, week out, the same way they did for Breaking Bad or The Wire for The Simpsons.
I mean, but they gotta have, somebody's gotta be watching it like that. It comes on Sunday night. Somebody's, I'm with you. We all know somebody who really loved that show that has the DVDs or goes back and watches it. I'm not saying that people don't go back in the archives to watch it. There has to be a market for it if they keep picking it up and it keeps having new episodes and new seasons of it. Got it. People's got to be watching this show. 34 seasons of The Simpsons. You guys make fun of me for still watching Law & Order. Not at season 34. It's getting there, though.
At least Law & Order is progressing. The Simpsons have had those kids at the same age for 34 years.
That is fair.
They haven't aged a day. I mean, I know it's a cartoon, but they haven't even progressed a story.
At some point, Bart has to graduate.
Bart needs to be a middle schooler at a certain point in his life.
Bart's got to be entering high school.
I'm not looking for him to sit down and go through funeral planning for Homer, but he's got to make it to high school.
Yeah, he's got to go there.
He's got to learn that skateboarding was a kid activity, not anymore.
Someone on the text line says 10-year-old boys, Carrington, 10-year-old boys, millions of them. They're not keeping that show because 10 million boys are watching it on a Sunday night. Believe me, it's a lot of y'all grown folks watching this show. It's a lot of grown people watching it. You know what? You know what time they're putting a 10-year-old boys show on? They're putting that on Saturday at noon, not Sunday after NFL games. It's a lot of y'all grown folks watching The Simpsons still at 34 years old. It's a lot of y'all still watching it. 34 seasons of The Simpsons. Congratulations to them, man. 34 seasons.
You feel the same way about that show you do Family Guy? No one watches it regularly, but it's just on.
I've never really liked Family Guy. It's funny. It's one of those shows that if you're flipping through the channels, if I'm like watching YouTube TV and I'm flipping through, I might stop and watch it for a couple of minutes, but I never really could get into Family Guy. It just wasn't about anything. They just made it hard for it to really be funny to me.
That's so weird that you like Ted, but don't like Family Guy. But it's the same thing.
I really liked Ted because it was Family Guy with a point. Like, it was the same humor and jokes of Family Guy, but it was working towards something. Like, I could follow what the story was. Family Guy just always feels like this random collection of jokes, and then at the end, it's like, hey, the episode's over. That I just couldn't really get behind. I see why people like the show. The show is really funny, but that's what really made Ted appealing to me, that, oh, this has, like, a real theme and a message and a story, and it's advancing, and their character developing. Like, I really enjoyed that part about Ted. That is what turns me off about Family Guy. But I guess that's also maybe what you would like about The Simpsons, is that maybe they do develop characters. I don't know. It really wasn't my show. I was never really the animated series guy. The only one of those shows I ever really watched was The Boondocks, but I never really watched any other show. I didn't really watch Futurama or Bob's Burgers or any of those kind of shows. That really wasn't my kind of show. There was this show a long time ago, Rob. Do you remember the show The Tick? You remember that show?
I do not know about The Tick.
There was this show The Tick, and he had this companion. He was a bunny. I watched Archer for a little bit, too. I thought Archer was kind of funny.
I like Archer. I like Bob's Burgers. Those are my two. Archer was funny for like three seasons. Now they're doing too much.
I watched Archer. That was it. I watched Archer for a little bit. That was a show of mine. Coming up in a little bit, we will hand things off to the Royals. The Royals play today. We have, if you played it, you missed it. We played the attendance game earlier today. Rob thinks that there's going to be 9,720 people at today's game. I think he's incredibly low on the Royals today. I think they're cracking the 10,000 mark. I think they're going to get 10,600 people out at the game today, Rob. That's the number that I'm going with. We did have a winner yesterday when we played the Royals attendance game. Congratulations to that individual. They are going to a future Royals game June 8th as the Royals play the Rays.
They'll be out in the seats with us.
Yeah, you can learn more about it on 610sports.com, but I have the Royals at a nice 10-6. A nice 10-6 today is what I have them at.
You think the pitching matchup of Jonathan Heasley and I forgot who the White Sox are pitching are bringing 10 out on a Tuesday? I don't think so.
I think so.
I don't think so.
Are they doing the dollar dogs tonight, or are they doing it all day?
That's an excellent question. I believe it's tonight's game because game one is actually the makeup game. So game two would be dollar dogs.
We can't do the hot dogs all day for the people.
They can't pay Carlos Santana $7 million. You think they're going to give people dollar dogs twice?
They can do the dollar dogs all day, man. If you take off work to go watch the Royals, they can give you dollar dogs. You can do dollar dogs.
So you're saying if Joe and Olathe took work off today, drove out there with gas being $75 at the pump, parked for $30, and walked in, he shouldn't have to pay $9.99 for a dog?
No. I thought I moved to California one day. I went to the gas station. I looked at the sign, and I was like, hold on. I don't think I live in California. I don't think I just moved. How is gas $4 a gallon? No, I didn't. I was confused for a second. I was very confused. If you missed it, Vern actually said this earlier today. He was on Fesco in the morning. Listen to this.
Carlos Santana. I don't have an answer there. To me, Carlos Santana needs to be a platooned bat, a guy that we only see when a left-hander's on the mound. I brought it up yesterday to Mike Matheny, hoping that MJ Melendez would get every day at bats, or at worst, platoon with Carlos Santana in that DH position. But Mike Matheny did not seem too keen on either one of those changes with this team. In fact, was even pretty resistant to the idea of Hunter Dozier starting at first base over Carlos Santana, saying,
"Why?
We signed Carlos to be our first baseman," was the answer.
I don't understand what the Royals are thinking sometimes, and I wish I could better understand their thought process. The Royals, to me, come off as an organization that yet doesn't fully know who they are or what they're trying to do. I might disagree with some of the Chiefs' moves, but I do think the Chiefs' moves are pointing in a direction. I think the Chiefs are openly willing to take a small step back in 2022 with an expectation that we're going to be back to business as normal in 2023. The schedule's tough this year. We got rid of Tyreek Hill. We're still trying to work out some things. But next year, we're going to swing big. We're going to bet big. And we'll be back next season to where we're the undeniable best team in the AFC. Like, that's what I think they are communicating. Sometimes the Royals want to tell me they're going for it. Sometimes they want to tell me that it's about the young talent. Sometimes they want to tell me that we're holding people accountable. Some days we're letting Carlos Santana continue to play first base. It's just up and down, hot and cold all the time. It's over for Carlos Santana. He cannot continue to start for this team. Carlos Santana has now played in 750 plate appearances and 180 games since he has gotten here. 180 games out of a two-year deal. He's hitting .205. He has an on-base percentage of .316. He's not a good offensive player. You gotta be willing to move on from Carlos Santana. Yesterday, Dayton talked to us about accountability. Let's start with holding Carlos Santana. That's low-hanging fruit. Carlos Santana is a bigger problem than the hitting coach was. Let's hold Carlos Santana accountable if you're really serious about turning this season around. J.J. Piccolo said with a couple more good ABs, we're back in it. How are you getting those good ABs from Carlos Santana? He's hitting .205 in the last 2 years. He's hitting .135 this season. I can get used to this, coming in early, leaving at 12 o'clock. I'm going to start doing this more often. Can we switch? Can we switch time slots during the day? Would you guys want me to switch time slots? Wouldn't mind this, you know? I'm done. All right, I'm out of here. Royals baseball up next. Take care of yourself. Catch you tomorrow.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.